They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It is Friday. We should update you on the trade war before you go into your weekend. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. China is upping the ante in its trade skirmish with the U.S. Beijing today announced that China will impose tariffs on about $60 billion worth of U.S. products if President Trump follows through on his latest tariff threat from this week. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now from Washington. What's behind this news from China, Nancy?
China says it's in response to what it calls blackmail, as the White House considers increasing tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese products from 10% to 25%. China says if the U.S. does that, it will impose these new tariffs in retaliation. Those Chinese tariffs would range from 5 to 25%.
All right. What's on the list? What is China proposing here?
Mainly food and agricultural goods, things like coconut oil, milk formula, and fruit juices. Some metals and chemicals are also on the list, and things like diesel engines and car parts. The Chinese are targeting more than 5,000 different U.S. products.
Now, U.S. producers of those goods want to know, will China really go through with this, Nancy?
Well, they say that depends on whether President Trump follows through on his threats. Now, China doesn't import as much from us as we import from them. That's why they're just targeting $60 billion worth of U.S. products. But Beijing can retaliate in other ways against U.S. businesses that are operating in China.
Nancy, thank you. The Trump administration has suggested all along that it's responding to China not playing fair on trade and U.S. intellectual property. Now to the big jobs report out this morning. While the unemployment rate ticked back down to 3.9%, that's where it was in May, we also learned today that 157,000 more names were on payrolls in July. Forecasts were for something higher, perhaps 200,000. Unconcerned with this apparent swing and a miss is Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So we can blame yet again teachers for this slightly lower than expected employment report?
That's where the weakness was this month. It's not really their fault. It's actually just a change in hiring patterns that threw off the seasonal adjustment factors. There was weakness in state and local employment. There was weakness in private education.
But where are the raises here? Wages went up 0.3%. That's still in the not much category.
The year-on-year wage growth is 2.7% this month, the same as the month before. In fact, the same as the month before that. There is rapid job growth in manufacturing and construction. Those were both better than expected today, and those are higher paying. But it's clearly not yet translating into higher average gains.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before.
More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Now to real estate development and disaster. In Greece, officials say 87 people are dead after last week's wildfire in Mati between the mountains and the coast, less than an hour from Athens. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is in Greece working on some debt and austerity stories. But today, a report in the aftermath of that terrible fire. Stephen joins us from Athens.
Hello, David.
So are there early indications of the economic cost of the fire when we see this human cost?
Too soon to be very precise about the likely economic cost. There's a huge operation still underway, sifting the debris, searching the water for bodies. The government has offered compensation of 5,000 euros, that's about $5,800, for every home lost. So the initial total is likely to be in the single-digit millions, but eventually the economic cost could be very much greater, and certainly the political cost is already very high.
And Greek officials, how has their emergency response been rated so far?
Not very highly. There have been recriminations flying, in fact, at every level. The response of the emergency services to the blaze has been bitterly criticized. The police have been accused of misdirecting people as they fled their homes. The police, it's alleged, actually directed them back into the path of the fire. The Coast Guard's been accused of waiting for something like 5 hours before attempting to rescue the people that had waded out into the sea. The firefighters have claimed that they were unequal to the initial task of getting this fire under control because of budget cuts imposed as a result of the Eurozone debt crisis. At least one bereaved family has launched a lawsuit against the government. Others could follow. This could be very costly indeed.
But beyond that, there are allegations that corruption may have contributed to the scale of this disaster?
Yes. Successive Greek governments have turned a blind eye to planning violations in this area that's been affected in other desirable coastal areas. So people have bought land with no permit to build, bribed officials to put in the services, the utilities, built foundations, and then waited till election time when the parties vying with each other offer an amnesty to win votes. It's even alleged that the fire was started by developers burning trees to clear land in preparation for another illegal development. The Greek prosecutor is investigating, and the government has promised a full inquiry. This is clearly going to lead to a very costly upheaval in Greek public life.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Athens. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And now a teachable moment today about money laundering, not how to do it, but how not to detect it. In banking, there's a supposedly strict rule about know your client. The bank is supposed to know who they're dealing with and where their money comes from to stop trafficking in ill-gotten gains. Well, the news agency Reuters got a hold of two internal reviews at Deutsche Bank that found that none of the clients checked from Russia, Ireland, Spain, Italy, and South Africa were vetted to the bank's own standards. 0%. Deutsche Bank says it is committed to making their Know Your Client systems less complex and more effective. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people. Of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.